boat, for the Savior is near.
Welcome, everyone, to the chat. I'm coming to you from the beautiful city of Columbus, Indiana. My name is Nida Evans, and I am the host for the chat. It airs each Saturday morning from 9 to 10 o'clock on radio station WYGS, and it can be live streamed from its website. The chat is also available on Google, Apple, and Spotify podcasts. Today, I'm chatting with Lori Samples. Lori is an outpatient nurse at Margaret Mary Hospital, a high school volleyball coach, and works with her husband, Brad, at their insurance agency, Encore. We'll be right back with the chat.
I'm stepping out of the boat, for the Savior is near.
Today, I'm chatting with Lori Samples. Lori is an outpatient nurse at Margaret Mary Hospital, a high school volleyball coach, and works with her husband, Brad, at their insurance agency, Encore. Welcome to the chat, Lori.
Thank you.
So good to have you today. I'm looking forward to the first few minutes here with you.
I'm excited to be here, but a little nervous.
Most are, but that's okay. Will you tell us about your family?
So I have been married for 25 years this year to my husband, Brad. And we have three children, Cody, who is a junior in college at Franklin, studying business and playing basketball there. We have a daughter, Caitlin, who is in her freshman year of Ivy Tech, going for nursing. And then our youngest, she is a freshman at South Ripley High School.
Will you tell us about your work?
So I have worked at Margaret Mary Hospital for over 25 years, working in the same-day surgery department. I just do that part-time now. And then on the other days, I work at my husband's insurance company, as you mentioned. I do a marketing and accounting there. And then in my free time, I coach volleyball, assistant coach for the high school. That's about it.
You mean you have free time? Will you give us your testimony? When did you come to know Jesus personally?
This isn't an easy question for me. Growing up, I could say I've always known God. I've always went to church. I always had the desire to do right things. But especially like that certain day when life changed, I could never say that because I think growing up, I never felt good enough. You know, I felt like I had to have certain boxes checked to be good enough to say I'm a Christian. I didn't realize that when I just gave my heart to God, that was enough and that I was enough. And so it wasn't until I was 16 that I really started to feel like I was good enough and started hearing more about baptism, but still thought I had to prove that I was good enough before I could show others. So when I was 18, I got baptized and really started trying to just recognize that I was good enough, that I'll never be perfect. God doesn't call me to be perfect. And I just started learning about grace and how important that was, not just for myself, but to show it to other people.
What is your relationship with Jesus like today?
Oh, it's growing. And I'm so excited. As you heard early, I'm busy. I like to do a lot of things. And I tease that I don't know what I'm going to do when I grow up one day. But one thing I have learned is I've been prioritizing Jesus and trying to open more room for Jesus. And instead of always doing things, trying to be ready for when he calls me to do the thing and those things that he wants me to do. So as I seek more into his word and be more aware of my prayer life and my devotional time, just seeing him grow in my life has just been so exciting.
Growing is oh so important, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Has God given you a passion for anything? You know, when we come to know Christ, normally he gives us a passion, something we're really interested in or really like to do. Has he done that for you?
I have always had a passion in my life for marriages, and it quickly comes to my mind since I read that question. When I hear of a marriage or a relationship struggling around me, I don't just be like, oh, that's sad. Like, it really burns inside of me. It irritates me. It makes me almost sick to my stomach, and I just really pray for those people. And I'm not a patient person. I've learned I'm not going to pray for patience, but I really, you know, God's working on me to know what can I do to help those around me more. But I think number one is just passionate for marriages and wanting to make relationships around me a lot stronger.
And this is so needed, especially today. Me being a marriage and family counselor, I deal with this with couples all the time. And so the fact that God has called you, has given you a passion for such a needed area, has to be very rewarding.
I don't know if rewarding is the word, because, I mean, you do work in the field, so I'm sure you may feel rewarded if you help one, but then you turn around and, you know, there's 10 more that you want to help. And I just pray a lot that God will use me in whatever way he wants in that area.
Is there an area or two in your life where God is working on you to make you more like Jesus? Now, you seem to not have any, but are there a couple?
Oh, my. I have a lot. I'm such a work in progress. When we talked about songs to think of, you know, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. That's me. You know, I feel like every day I just am learning that I need to be ready, need to work on being more of a God pleaser, not a people pleaser. I'm somebody, I want to make everybody happy. I want to spread joy to everybody around me. But then what I find is that's about me sometimes, mm-hmm. and not as much about God. And trying to be ready, because sometimes I'm so busy that I'm not ready for where God wants to use me. And that's something that's really been laid on my heart this past year in transition with kids growing up and graduating, having more free time in those areas, but being careful in what am I going to fill that free time with? It's been a great time of prayer for me.
The chat has a theme song called Stepping Out, and in it, the song talks about stepping out of the boat into faith in areas where God wants to stretch us, to use us, to cause us to depend upon him and him alone. What about you? Have there been any times in your life when God has asked you to step out of the boat?
It's exciting because I can say there's been many. In 2012, God had worked with me for many years. I had taken groups of women to the Women of Faith Conference for a lot of years, and God had just given me clear visions on what he wanted me to bring back to my home church of Hopewell. And we started planning with an amazing group of women. We did like a mini Women of Faith at our church with breakout sessions. We had Point of Grace come in and sing, some amazing speakers, and just seeing God's vision. I couldn't go back and do it today because that would be about me. It was just so clear and everything fell into place. And, you know, our church that could seat about 500 was sold out. We were having to unfortunately turn some people away because we had sold out of all of our tickets. And the event itself was just amazing. And seeing how God used me as a vessel, you know, it wasn't about me, but I let him use me. And that was one of the first times I can say I truly knew God was in control. And my kids were with me that day. And I remember riding home from that event and just in awe of everything and really kind of like in awe of how it touched me. And my son, who would have been 10 years old at that time, he was there kind of helping with the event. And I remember him sitting in the car saying, you know, Mom, I've always wondered if God's real, but after today, I have no doubt. And it's like, you know, if that event didn't touch one more person, that was a truly touching thing for me.
How cool of that. And for your son to tell you that.
Yeah, he's an amazing kid.
Let's get into your prayer life. What does it look like? Do you go to a certain place in your home each day? What's going on with your prayer life?
I would love to say I am one of those people. I get up and I pray before my feet hit the floor. I pray when I get in a shower. I'm praying when I get out. I'm praising and worshiping. I'm praying on my way to work. But that wouldn't be very honest.
Yeah.
I get out of bed and I do have a chair that I pray at. I do my devotions and I read my Bible there. And I really have dedicated that time in the mornings to trying to protect that time because I've realized how important that is and how much I've grown from having that time with God. Throughout the day, like I said, I'm a busy person and I am somebody, my mind is a busy thing, I should say. Everybody has 24 hours and they fill it with what they choose to fill it with. And my mind is very full. So I have to have things that make me stop in my tracks and remind me, you need to pray about this. I'm usually one of those people that likes to go and mess things up really bad and then come back and say, okay, God, can you fix it for me now? But my prayer life, I'm growing in that. And sometimes maybe I'm just a little delayed. I haven't made it real messy yet, just kind of messed it up a little bit. But so I do start off my day in prayer. I pray before my meals. And I've started having little note cards around. I'm not the best at memorizing scripture, so I like to have little reminders of scripture with those. On my desk at work, I have like a little card that I put people that I want to remember. And too, like I was really convicted years ago of, you know, I'll read something on Facebook or somebody will say something. I'll be like, I'm praying for you, and then go on about my life. And I really was convicted about that. Like, you said you were praying for them. Did you do it? Mm-hmm. And so really writing that down, and sometimes I'll even email myself. So I, you know, keep reminding myself that I need to pray for that person. So for me, it's got to be a lot of visual reminders to make me stop, because I'm not good at that. And so throughout the day, my visual reminders for meals before bedtime, you know, I love to spend time with our daughter before bed, just praying with them, seeing how their day has went, and really growing that time with them as well to show them how important that is as well.
I'm guilty of what you were just talking about as well. Someone asking me to pray and then I forget. And sometime later, or when they come, they say, thank you so much for praying for me. This is how it turned out. And I thought, oh. And so now I really do make it a concentrated effort that when someone asks me to pray, to seriously take that.
Yeah. And I even try to stop like right before I even, like if it's on Facebook and I'm posting, or, you know, if it's someone I see, I try to like right away do it, you know, not put it off. Mm-hmm. Right then, you know, whisper that prayer.
Yeah, that's important. If you have time at that moment to go ahead and pray and in a sense have that over with. But but sometimes that's how we look at it. But that's not the best way to have that. Are there any prayers that you pray specifically for yourself?
I would say prayers for integrity, knowing that life's not about me. You know, today isn't about me. And that's been a big prayer just about today. You know, I don't ever want someone to think that I have it all together, but yet I always want them to see the love of Jesus in me. And I want them to see that you can't do these things on your own, that, you know, it's so easy for us to look at other people and be like, I want to be more like that. You know, that person, I want to be more like that. I wish I could be like that. I always want to just lead with a lot of love and a lot of joy. Just share with people around me the love of Jesus and show them that I'm going to mess up. I'm going to hurt people's feelings. And I, you know, but ultimately at the end of the day that I love them and I just want to share with love with God with them.
Mm-hmm. And that's important. So, so important. Are there two prayers that God has answered for you? You know, a lot of times we think about God answering prayers or not answering prayers. And I think we don't give him enough credit for the prayers that he does answer, even though he does answer the prayers, all of them in some way. But to give him credit, what about you? Are there two prayers that you can think of that were important to you that they be answered and God answered them? Maybe not the way you wanted him to, but he did answer those.
So there's been a lot of prayers in life that I've prayed. You know, like I said, marriage has always been a really strong thing. I think it's safe to say that growing up, marriage wasn't real strong in my household. And I always prayed that as I got married and God blessed me with a very blessed marriage, we put a lot of work into it. From day one, we did nightly devotional studies with marriage. We went to multiple marriage gatherings and a marriage retreat. And even to the one point that my husband looked at me and was like, okay, is there something I need to know about? Like, we're going to, but I was so passionate again. It always comes back to marriage. And there was one retreat in particular that we were taking a group from our church to a marriage retreat. And I did not know at the time, but my mom had basically told my dad that we're going to this marriage retreat or else. And so we were on the way to the marriage retreat with a bus full of people. And there's like a Reds game at the same time or an event like that. And so the crowd was crazy. And like getting there, we were very late. You don't have assigned seating. So we ended up sitting like almost behind the stage. And I remember my dad looking at my husband and saying, you want to go get some popcorn or something? This is going to be great. And real sarcastically, did not want to be there. And in my heart, I was just like, man, can anything else go wrong? I mean, it's like, here, finally, we're coming this far. And then I remember on the bus ride home, I don't remember any of the words, but I remember hearing my dad behind me talking. And I looked at my husband and I said, do you hear this? Like, who is this person? And just like that, I could notice such a huge change in my dad. And years before that, I had went and met with our preacher. And I was just in a period of time where I felt never heard by God. And I had prayed for this relationship for a very long time. And I'd went in and talked to my preacher, and he's going to fix it because that's what preachers do, right?
Yeah.
And I went in and I poured my heart out, was talking to our preacher, and he looked over at me and he said, okay, I'll pray for you. And I was like, really? You're going to pray for me? Like, that's all I'm going to get from this? And I remember leaving and just feeling so defeated again in the car ride home. And then I know I kind of jumped around, but going back to the marriage retreat and riding home on that bus, realizing God answered my prayer in his timing.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing my dad's faith change so quickly and so dramatically was such an answer to prayer that I would say that was the most dramatic prayer that I've seen in my life. There's been so many other times that, like I told you, I'm a fixer. I wanted to fix, you know, my family or my husband or my kids or my, you know, whatever. And just time and time again, God showed me that he's got it. You know, I just need to be ready and be a vessel that he can use. So I guess that's one of the biggest prayer concerns. And then just a kind of a simple one, though, you know, they don't always have to be big. When I was a little girl, I lost my contacts and they were expensive at that time. And I had to beg to get my first pair. And I knew that I would not get another pair and I'd have to go back to wearing my glasses, which were not pretty. And I remember praying upstairs, God, please, can you help me find my contact? And again, I was probably 13 years old. Didn't know that God really listened to me probably at that time. And I remember having this strange feeling to go downstairs and look underneath the table. And I went down there and it was a clawfoot table. So not just like where you're going to peek under it. And I got on my hands and knees and I remember feeling around thinking this is so crazy. But, and lo and behold, I found my contact lens, hard as a rock. And I put it in the solution. By next morning, it was perfect, and I was able to use it. And again, maybe seems like a simple prayer, but it reminded me that God hears even those little silly prayers.
All prayers are important to God, don't you think?
Absolutely.
I'm really enjoying our chat, Lori, but we've got to take a break. We'll be right back with the chat.
I'm stepping out of the boat, for the Savior is near. I'm stepping out of the boat.
We're back with the chat, and I'm chatting with Lori Samples. Lori, before we get into talking about blessings, I've got one more question about your prayer life. Has God ever disappointed you?
Well, I think I kind of touched on that a minute ago. I think not answering them in my time. I'm not a patient person, so I want it, and I want it now, and I want it just like what I think. And so I would say the biggest is some that you're still waiting on, you know, and I guess disappointments is when my family isn't walking the way that I want them to walk with God. And, you know, that's all family. That's like, you know, maybe parents or aunts and uncles or siblings, or, you know, you just want everybody, you want to see everybody in heaven. That's the hardest prayer, I think, to pray. And that's where I'm so thankful for the answer to prayer with my dad, because it reminded me that God doesn't answer prayer on my time, but on his. And when it's on his time, I'm so much more aware that it wasn't because of me, that it was because of him. And I'm reminded over and over and over again, Lori, get out of the way. Mm-hmm. I don't need you. I can use you, mm-hmm. but I can do it without you too.
That's it. The fact that God doesn't work in our time. I think all of us who follow Christ have difficulty with that one. In fact, quite often, because we want God to obey us instead of us obeying him, don't we?
Yeah. And I always think I know what's best. So, you know,
that's how we are as human beings.
And then I would say the second is in 2012, I had some stuff going on medically that I prayed would turn out a different way. And the day after Christmas, I found out I was a BRCA positive. Goodness, this is emotional. If you don't know what that means, is that put me at like a 80%+ chance of developing breast cancer and a 30%+ of developing ovarian cancer. And I've always been a doer, and I've always been one of those people, you know what, I'm not going to be a victim. We're going to, you know, face this head on. But I prayed really hard that that test was not going to come back that way. It also hit the same time that I'd stepped out on faith and done the many women of faith at our church. So how in the world did I finally do what you asked me to do, God? And now I'm going to get hit with this on top of it. But we went ahead, and in March of 2013, I ended up undergoing some major surgeries. I had a double mastectomy and complete hysterectomy at 34 years old. That can rock your world. But then God also, again, showed up once again. So even though he didn't answer my prayer that I had to go through with it, the trials that I went through going through it and seeing him at work has just, and still to this day, continues to be a blessing.
Wow, that's major. But the fact that you trusted God and you know that he knows what's best and why he does what he does. And we don't always get the answer. And sometimes it's best, I think, that we not know why he does or doesn't do some things. But wow, what a testimony that is, Lori.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, you know, if we could see the big picture, we would never make it there because it's too overwhelming. But I think when you just take one day at a time, you know, I think many people that are even listening to this can say they never thought they could make it through something, you know, and it's right. I couldn't make it through it, but with God, I was able to and continue to every day.
Will you tell us about your devotional life and what do you do during your times of devotion?
So again, this is kind of new for me. It's something I've started doing about a year and a half ago. I'm 45 years old, and I can't say I've ever read my Bible from front to back or even ever read all the chapters. You know, I was one of those people that checks the boxes. So I go to church on Sundays. I'll volunteer for certain things. I go to conferences. I read some devotionals. But did I ever really focus on me and my personal growth with God? And the answer was no. And about 2 years ago, I was really convicted of that. And I really started devoting my morning times with God. And that looks like sitting down and opening my Bible. And I read a chronological Bible. I love it. Mm. It's been great for me. But I sit down and I read that Bible, and I don't have a certain amount of time. I don't have a certain number of chapters. I just read it until I feel like that's where I'm at. And I try to process it. I write down notes that I have from it. I write down my prayers at that time. And that's just really grown my life with God tremendously.
And it would, spending that much time with him. How could it help, you know?
Yeah, it's always frustrating, you know, because I was one of those people. I still am. You know, like I just read this morning, and I probably can't tell you what I read. But I've realized that, you know what, it's not about the words, it's about the time. And I think you can even take that into your life with family. You know, you may not remember the words they tell you, but the time they spent with you, you'll always remember. And I think that's what I'm finding the more I spend time with God, is I might not remember the words I read, but the way God has used them to change my life is been very powerful. So I guess just not getting discouraged when I can't memorize scripture or I can't retain everything that I read, you know, it's like, it's still important.
As I chat with you, Lori, I am so impressed about your wisdom.
Well, thank you.
Do you have a life verse?
I do. So I can't say this is one like every day I recite. I'm one of those people that when I can't pray, when I don't know what to pray about, I recite the Lord's Prayer. I do have that memorized. I have some verses memorized. But when it came to my life verse, the first one that came to me was Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. And it's not the whole verse. It's the part that says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." I want to be a vessel of joy, you know, and later we had talked about joy in some of the questions that we were going over. And, you know, when people see me, I want them to see joy, you know, like I can teach about Jesus and I can preach to people, and I can tell them those things they're doing wrong, and they can tell me what I'm doing wrong. But at the end of the day, if I walk around with my Bible and looking at all the rules that I see and forgetting that that's not what God's about. Number one, God's about love. Mm-hmm. And I feel like love comes from joy. And if I can go out every day and just spread joy everywhere that I am, then people want that. You know, I want more of that. I want to be around people like that. If I can just spread joy and help them to see that, you know, you ask people why they don't go to church, and the answers are sad, because that's not what church is. That's not what God is. God isn't a judgy God. I mean, yes, he has rules. Compare that to, like, as a parent. My kids don't fear me in some ways. If they don't know that there's consequences to their actions, then they're never going to change, and they're never going to want to change. And I feel like that's the same with God when I think of him. Like, there's consequences to my actions. He's not going to not love me. He's not going to turn me away from being able to go to heaven, but I've always got to do better because there are consequences to my actions. And so when, you know, you go through hard times or ugly things happen in life and you're like, why? You know, why would a loving God do something like that? It's because, well, there's consequences to sin. And unfortunately, there's a lot of sin in our world. And again, I guess maybe I got off topic with that, but if I don't live in joy, if I walk around carrying a load of judgment with me, that's a very heavy weight to carry. Mm-hmm. But if I walk around with a joy that people don't understand, when you're going through trials, it doesn't mean I'm not going through trials, but it means, you know what, there's a joy that's so much deeper in me. It's not a feeling. It doesn't mean I'm happy, but it means that, you know what, at the end of the day, I have a promise that I'm going to heaven, and I want as many people to go with me that can.
Can you tell us a couple of your favorite biblical accounts? Do you have any favorites of all the hundreds there are?
Oh, goodness. I think one is walking on the water.
Mm.
And I questioned, would I have that faith? You know, what if I could have seen that? So many times I think of the miracles and why don't we see them now? And then I feel like I'm kind of hit upside the head with a dumb stick. Like, hello, look around. Think of what we've talked about today. But it's so hard to really process those. You know, I think of Noah. And we read the Bible and we're like, how do these people not, you know, how did they treat people like that? And how did they not know? And it's like they didn't have the future in their hand. And I look at us and I'm like, how many things are people going to turn around and say, how did they not know? How are they not getting it? So I guess my favorite encounters is more like in just awe and wonder. If I could have seen it, if I could be there and like really see that it happened.
Are you reading a particular book in the Bible now? What's going on with Bible reading? I know you said you're trying to read it through.
Yes. So I am in the New Testament and I'm in Ephesians. And I'm loving the life lessons from that. Love how personal it is. Can't say I've ever read that book in my life. Heard little verses from the scripture, but you know, when I would try to read my Bible, I'd always start in Genesis because I felt like that's what I was supposed to do. And then, you know, years later, I decide I'm going to read my Bible again. I go back to Genesis and I'm like, I already read this. So then I would start, you know, maybe in the New Testament, start with Matthew, read for a little bit, and then quit. So for me, the chronological Bible, I started out in Genesis, but it kind of intermingles all the chapters. Then I decide, you know, our world's in a pretty ugly shape. I may never get to Revelations if I don't jump to the New Testament. So probably 8 months ago, I jumped to the New Testament and started reading in Matthew and Mark. And like I said, it's been really exciting just to see how personal the Bible is. You know, it's not just stories about other people and how it's able to relate to me.
The words just jump off the pages sometimes, don't they?
They do. And it's amazing how you can read the same scripture at different times in your life and they're completely different meanings. And I think that's important too when, you know, people, I don't want to say argue scripture, but you'll have people that, you know, argue how you feel. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's my conviction with God. And I feel like he works on me differently at different points in my life. And that's been something with me as well, that I have to be careful that You know, I realize God's working on everybody on different times and on different levels, and none of us is imperfect.
Our needs change. You know, we may have a need one day and a particular verse applies, but then have another need at a different time, and that same verse will apply, only God gives it to us so that we have insight differently than the time before.
Yes, absolutely. I do a lot of highlighting. So I used to not write in my Bible. I was like, oh, I shouldn't write in that. And now it's like, I am all over it. And it's really cool to go back. And even on days where you're just really struggling, and you can just go back. And like, I try to write notes of like what I was thinking at that time when I read that scripture and how it's able to talk to me now that I am at a different period. You know, like maybe now is a depressing time for me, or now is a time of transition, you know, and to go back and read and how God can use his words to still change me no matter what season I'm in.
Let's get into favorite women of the Bible that you may have. Can you give a couple? And why do you choose those particular women?
Mary, mother of Jesus. You know, could I have that faith? Can I have that faith? But I would always desire to be able to be her. You know, to look and if I knew what was going to happen to my son like she did, to be able to have faith that we don't talk about much. I seen a funny little thing the other day about, imagine being the mother of Jesus, you know, and be like, oh, you're going to go sit in the wilderness for 40 days and have nothing to eat or drink. Oh, great. Yeah, okay, well, have fun, you know, and it's like, but what would it be like to have that faith? So definitely Mary, and just, I think she had to be an extremely patient woman, you know, to not understand, and to feel helpless, I'm sure, at times. How many times did they lose Jesus? You know, I think about that. But another one, and I don't want to say I admire her, but I see me in her, is Rebecca. You know, I'm more like Rebecca. I'll do things my way. You know, God, we've been talking about this in our ladies' Bible study, and you know how she just went ahead of God. And even though God made promises and she couldn't see how those were going to be fulfilled, she decided, well, maybe she should just do it herself. So that would be my way a lot of times. And again, working on that, but I don't want to be Rebecca, but then again, I relate a lot with Rebecca.
A lot of us do, Lori. Let's get into mentoring. Have you ever had a mentor?
I've had a bunch of mentors. You've met my Aunt Rachel. She is just an amazing person. And I don't think she's ever tapped into how amazing she is. The life she has lived, the trials she has been through, you would never know it. And the joy that she lives is just been an inspiration. And she gets that from my grandma. You know, my grandma was somebody, like I said, growing up, I don't think I ever felt good enough. And that wasn't just in your spiritual walk. That was in every walk that you did, whether it was be at school, whether it be all those things you want to be better at. You want to be a better athlete. You want to be a better singer. You want to be a better speaker. And like, I just never felt good enough. I never felt I had a calling. I never felt like I had a gift. And so when people talked about gifts, I was like, God kind of missed mine. But my grandma always made me feel like that special person. And there was nothing wrong with me. I was perfect.
Yeah. What are some things you've learned from your Aunt Rachel?
Patience. She is just, and peace, I think. You know, she's just full of peace. And watching how she trusts in God. And like I said, I don't know her whole stories, but I know what I've seen from the outside. And I've questioned, how in the world does she walk with so much faith? But her devotion to God has just always been unwavering. And again, it's a testament to my grandma. I feel like she's what I get to see left for my grandma. You know, I lost my grandma when I was 18. And getting to see a little piece of her is a blessing.
I'm enjoying our talk about mentoring now, but, and there's more questions I have about that. We'll be right back with the chat.
I'm stepping out of the boat, for the Savior is near. I'm stepping out of the boat, for the Savior.
We're back with the chat, and I'm chatting with Lori Samples. We were just talking about mentoring and about people who have mentored you throughout your life. Now I'd like to ask you, have you mentored anyone?
You know, I would love to say I've mentored more. And I think some days we won't ever know what impact we have on people until we see them in heaven. You mentioned early on, I'm a volleyball coach. That was never anything that was in my plans. Definitely wasn't my timing. It's an extremely busy time in my life when my daughter's team had a coach not work out. And so I ended up filling that void at that time. And then here we are 8 years later, and I'm still coaching volleyball. And my number one goal of that is to be a positive example. I am a competitive person, so I do like to win. But day in and day out, my ultimate goal is to make every girl better, not just as an athlete, but as a person. I pray that, you know, in these 8 years that I've coached, that I have made impacts to other girls, young and old, to show them that a love of God and to show them what God can do in their lives. And then I mentioned marriages. We have facilitated many marriage classes at our church. We've taken some marriage trips to different conferences and things. I do know of a few couples that I personally have mentored. I wish I could say they are all still together, but I've also had to realize that's not my job. You know, I feel like I just want to be there. I want to be able to help these marriages. And it is, you know, exciting when you can see the fruits of your spirit, you know, to see that God did use you to touch people. I would love to be able to see the future and to know how God has used me. But ultimately, I feel like that's where, when I say I'm wanting to be more available, I cringe when somebody says, "You're so busy." I never want people to say that, because I never want them to think I'm too busy for them. I never want them to be too busy for God. So again, that's something I'm working on. And again, as my life transitions from having kids in school, what does that look like? You know, and I want it to make sure that that's not what does Lori want it to look like, but what does God want it to look like? And again, it's just been real heavy on my heart, and I'm not patient, but I keep praying on how God's wanting to use me and to grow me in my ministry of actually mentoring. And what does that look like?
You have just mentioned about the fact that you're a very competitive person. I don't know if I should tell you or not this, Lori, but I am too. And and my sport is Uno.
Those can get grueling.
I feel you.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to get into a really serious time now with you. And that is struggles. As women of faith, we all have struggles. Has there been a time in your life where God has helped you through a time of struggle? Will you tell us about it?
Yeah, I would say one of my darker times was probably about 7 years ago. Just a really time of spiritual deadness. I don't know if that's the word to say, but emptiness. Mm-hmm. Praying, and just wanting to hear God's voice. Just, you know, praying to see a little bit of light when it felt so dark around you, and not understanding. Like, I was digging into my Bible. I was praying. I was going to church. I was, you know, involved in a Bible study, but I couldn't feel God. And, you know, I read things about, you know, sometimes God's just trying to get you to stand on your own 2 feet, you know, and not without him. But that was a very hard time, and trying to find what does that look like. There was turmoil around us in the environments that we were in. And that was a very hard time. But it was also a time of growth, you know, and coming out of that and feeling the spiritual awakening, I don't know, in my heart. You know, COVID was during that time too. And just a lot of darkness. And I think now being able to look and see how God used those dark times to be more aware of the light. And I feel like coming out of that time, I mean, just the joy. Like, I feel like I've learned so much about joy that I want to pass it on. You know, I just wish everybody could understand what true joy is, you know, and where even during your darkest hour, still know deep down that it's not a feeling. It's a way of life.
Was that a depressing time for you?
I don't even know if I could say depressed. I don't know that I had a feeling. You know, it was more just like an empty.
Numb?
Yes, numb. Yeah. Didn't really know how you felt. You know, it was like, you know, maybe it's searching for direction. Maybe it's wondering how God's going to use you, you know, and then you just got the normal struggles of life of, you know, am I doing the right thing as a parent? You know, are we raising and guiding our kids in the way that they should be? You know, I made a very bad decision one day of making a comment to one of our kids. And I said, you know, I said, you're graduating. I said, now you're going to be my report card. And I cringed at repeating that. But in my head, that's the pressure I put on myself, you know, and how egotistical of me, because I don't have the power to change anyone. Mm-hmm. And my kids are not a product of me. Mm-hmm. You know, they're God's children. And learning that has, one, been freeing for me, but also been humbling for me to realize that, of course, you get excited when somebody says, oh, you've got a great kid, or, you know, they congratulate you on something. But to turn around and just be like in awe of what God has done in your family, in your friends, in those relationships around you, I feel like has been amazing.
Have there been any scriptures during those times that God has used to encourage you?
I think the ones that always come to mind is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I go back to, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I don't know that I could say just one.
Mm-hmm. There were probably several, I would think.
Yeah.
Not just one, but sometimes, you know, there's just one.
Yeah.
But other times he gives us several. So those are two good ones for times of encouragement for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I mean, ones, you know, that I just repeat a lot, you know, especially in those times of numbness, is the Lord's Prayer. Mm. You know, because sometimes you don't know what to pray. Sometimes you don't even know what's on your mind. You don't even know what you want to pray to change. You just know that you need something. And I prayed that prayer more than I ever prayed it in my life during those times, just because I knew God just wanted to hear from me. He didn't care what I said. He don't care about what we say half the time. He just wants to hear us talk to him.
Is there a song that he has given you that will bring encouragement to our listeners?
The song I kept coming back to is I Can See Jesus in You. I sang this when my son was baptized, and it just means a lot to me.
Let's listen to I Can See Jesus in You.
I won't deny it, but all the dream of tender.
That's a great song, Lori. Very, very upbeat and very encouraging. Thank you for bringing that song to us today. I'd like to give you a couple of minutes. Has God laid anything on your heart that he wants you to share with the rest of us that will encourage us, or the Holy Spirit can speak to us through?
I go back to that song, I Can See Jesus in You. And I think there's no greater compliment in life than for someone to be able to say that. But it isn't about seeing Jesus in you, you know, and I think it's giving yourself grace to understand that when you say, I can see Jesus in you, it's not that I see you as perfect or I see you as flawless or I see you full of joy even, but I see you as a person that Jesus has made different and I want to be more like Jesus. You know, I see the joy in you. I see the change that you make in people around you. And I just want to encourage you or challenge you to make a difference every day and try to make a change in my wording to my kids of, you know, hope you have a great day to, you know what, make it a great day. If you don't have a passion and you don't have a goal every day to change someone's life or to change your life, then I think it's hard to find a goal. How do you know when you've reached a goal if you've never set one? And so for me, it's trying to always look around and how can I make a difference each and every day? And I challenge you to do the same thing.
Will you pray with us?
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this podcast today. And you know it's way out of my comfort zone. And I just pray that nothing about today was about me, but it's all about you. And I pray for whoever's listening to this today, God, that your words were used and that somehow they've touched each one listening to this today, God. And again, I pray that you can use this to touch broken relationships, to give people hope and to understand that you are the God of forgiveness and grace. And I just pray that you use us each in whatever ways you want to use us and help us to grow closer to you and just use this podcast to grow your kingdom, God. We're so thankful for you and all these things we pray. Amen.
Thank you for coming and chatting with me today, Lori. I've really enjoyed this. You, again, I will say, are a very wise, 46-year-old?
45.
I'm sorry for aging you like I did, but you have a lot of wisdom to share with not only women, but kids and teenagers and everyone. So thank you for coming.
Well, thank you for having me.
And I thank you, listeners. I've appreciated your tuning into the chat today. I look forward to future times when we can once again sit and have a chat.
I'm stepping out of the boat for the Savior.